Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn today. My name is Larry Sonnenberg, and I have two fabulous people sitting with me, Dr. Alice Benton on my right.
Hello, hello.
Hi, and Dr. Sherry Keffer on my left.
Well, good to be with you both.
Yeah. Last time we were together, we had a really good show. It started slow, and calls kept coming, and we just couldn't keep up with it. So we're going to keep going here.
We have a full house.
Yeah. And I think instead of doing the business to start the show, let's start with a phone call, and then let's we'll mix in the other stuff as we go. Let's start with talking with Kate. Kate's on line 8 in Dallas, Texas. Listens on KWRD. Hello, Kate. How can we help you today?
Hello. My question is, my husband's been through every man's battle, and I don't know how to ask this. We still seem to have a problem connecting physically.
Okay. How long ago did he go?
About 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Kate, how well has
counseling.
He? Kate, how well has he done keeping up with things like the sustained victory?
To my knowledge, he's not touched porn that I know of. I've got the blocks on all the computers and phones of the house and all that stuff, so.
Has his demeanor, has he changed in some way, other than the behavior of just not looking at porn? Has his countenance, his character, his who he is, has that changed that you can see?
Not really. He's just...
Kate, does it seem like he did the work at the weekend, but came home and the work stopped?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He says I'm not attractive unless I wear a dress, or I appear to be more sensual, I guess.
Hmm.
And he's unable to do anything physically with me.
What do you mean by that? I mean, without getting too graphic, but what...
Yeah. Nothing.
So his body isn't responding to you?
He says he's incapable.
He's incapable? How old is he?
Yes.
How old is he?
In late 50s.
Hmm.
This has been going on several years now.
Could be physical.
And I don't know if there's a way to... Tell he's been porn for a really long time or since his youth. And is there a way or a class or anything to rewire his way of thinking? Does that make sense?
So let me just make sure I'm hearing you right. So you guys are struggling sexually. Is it coming from the fact that he is struggling to make his body do what it needs to do to engage sexually? Or is it that you're struggling with fears about becoming sexual again?
No, he's... In the past, I've done pretty much what he wants me to do. And since this has all come out, I refuse to dress like a hooker anymore, basically.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
You. Well, tell you what, Kate, you hold the line for a minute. You hear the music. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come back, and Alice and And Sherry will have some things to help you. And I'm sorry for the pain you're going through. It's not easy, but we're going to help you through this. So just hang on. We'll be right back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back and we're talking with Kate. And Sherry, you had a couple of things I know that you're thinking about that might help Kate.
Yeah, so I have this chapter that I wrote that's called Remember When Sex Was Safe and Skydiving Was Dangerous.
And that's in your book.
It's in my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, which we'll send you a copy. But so it's layered. So we're listening here for some things. And I love Larry's response. It's like, you know, we don't really know what's going to come out after somebody is really being faced with what's going on. So one of the things we're thinking about, when someone is looking at porn, there's something called porn-induced erectile dysfunction, where if he's still looking at porn, right, if he's still looking at suggestive images, if his mind isn't reset, then he can continue to struggle with erectile dysfunction. It can be a problem. So that's something that I would have you watch a video. There's a guy by the name of Gary Wilson that did this video called The Great Porn Experiment. And I'd have both you and your husband look at it first and then maybe sit down and watch it. But he explains in a very simple way what happens when porn impacts our brain, where it shuts down, it overwhelms normal manly ways of being able to engage with your wife. And porn can also damage the way that they are with us, and that they have to go back and learn again how to be with a real female, how to be engaged and aroused by any woman's body, whether she's in a dress or not. Like I'm bugged by his comment. I'll be really honest, because I think a lot of times guys want to put their problem on us. It's how you dress. It's how you look. It's But you know what? You know, you lay down next to a man, and it can be very stimulating.
Well,
right?
What you just alluded to is the reason Steve said that we put together the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. We do the workshop for Every Man's Battle and tell guys how to stop doing and get out of the trap they're in with the addiction to the sexual stuff. But we don't get them together with their wives and help them understand what the next steps are to create true intimacy. And so that's what that workshop is all about.
Yeah, because what we forget, Larry, and we don't talk a lot about, is through the pornography or whatever he was doing and sexually acting out, there's sexual trauma for the partner, mm-hmm. right? He's got to get his body back online by getting sober and not looking at porn, so his body works fine. But then she's got this whole deck of cards that she's got to unfold as far as, what do I feel about myself now if I've been made to dress like a hooker? And you know what? Mm-hmm. Thank you for telling us that, Kate, because I got to tell you, you're not alone. There are so many women out there that were trying to please their man and that actually crossed their own boundary of what they felt comfortable with. You know, we had a gal on the last show that her husband wanted her to be a part of a threesome. That those things, when you start feeling like you're pretending to be somebody else when you're engaging sexually, you've already crossed a line. You need to feel comfortable with what you're doing. And so for him to put it on how you're dressing is the wrong answer. He really needs to be focusing in on what he's doing to create sexual safety for you.
You know, Kate, we have men that come back to Every Man's Battle a second time after a number of years. They just, something didn't click, or they didn't get it, or they fell back into their sin. Whatever the reason, we have guys that come back again, and that I would really encourage your husband to sign up and come back to Every Man's Battle a second time. And he'll see and hear things he didn't see and hear the first time, and it might lead you in the right direction. You had a thought.
I did, Kate. I got really angry and protective feeling of you as I was listening to you, because my sense is that your husband was asking you to be his live pornography, and you may have felt obligated to do that or did it out of love for him, however far it went, even if it was just the way that you were dressing. And I'm angry because it's not respecting you for who you are. I think his treatment, his healing process stopped after he came back from that weekend. It didn't sound like you even knew what sustained victory is. It's an ongoing weekly call that men need to engage in after that weekend so that they have the ongoing support in the healing process, because one weekend isn't enough. So it is good and right for you to insist that he get back into the healing process. And it's good for you to hold your sexual boundaries. It's okay to not be willing to do everything that he's asking of, especially if he hasn't become safe yet. Last thought, real briefly, if you're the one that has to find out if he's looking at pornography or not, the responsibility is on the wrong person. If he's in his healing process, he would be the one coming forward to say, I'm not. Let me show you my passwords, show you my history on my computer. So I want to insist that he get help for the sake of your marriage and for your sake.
So, Kate, we're going to send you Intimate Deception, and hope that that helps you. And I would just encourage you to have a talk with your husband. Encourage him to try Every Man's Battle a second time. He might feel shame about that, but shame is the trap that's holding him in where he's at right now. So thank you for calling us. You know, I want to go and talk to Gordon on line two. The call screen has an interesting call and comment, and one a lot of people wonder about, I think. Gordon, how are you doing? You listen on Sirius XM.
I'm just fine. How are you?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. I'm delighted to be able to talk to you. This question kind of was precipitated by a conversation I had with my daughter last night. Our church has been involved for a few years now in biblical counseling, and it first began as intensive discipleship ministry is what they first called it. My concern, and this was a part of our conversation last night, is that I think the essence of this philosophy or this program is sufficiency of Scripture. And if you believe in that all problems can be taken care of and handled. What concerns my daughter and myself, particularly myself, is that if you tend to not, say, want to be part of that program or think that program is maybe as valid as they do, it leaves you thinking that maybe you personally have a spiritual problem, that you personally are not able to trust the Scripture not enough to handle these things. And I'm not sure how to approach that or how to handle that with this leadership or for myself, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us were saying that it's hard not to feel some guilt at, well, maybe there were the wrongs. And that is the essence of the program, by the way, I think. If you don't comply with it, then you have a spiritual problem. So I hope that makes some kind of sense
it
to you.
It does. Yep. It makes so much sense. And I'm so glad.
You called the right day because Sherry's here.
Well, no. Anybody.
May I say one other thing? We've gotten to the point in this particular church where they're now hosting. They just now hosted a conference this fall. So it's growing in its intensity as far as the leadership embracing it. I'm sorry to cut in, but I want you to know that.
Well, and you know, this is the deal, is you all get to make choices about where you want to worship, about philosophies, and I love Scripture. Yeah. I adore Scripture, and I think Scripture does hold all truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they are in the right ballpark, but where I think that philosophy falls short is it doesn't fit with science. Because the way the brain is wired is when we have a traumatic event in our lives, it wires in shame, negative belief about ourselves. And so I have a lot of people that come to me, Gordon, that feel guilt because they've been memorizing scripture. They've got verses up on their mirror. They've got them in their car. But they're like, why can't I believe that I'm lovable? Why am I still struggling with this? I know what Jesus did for me, and I know how much God's. And so if we just try to apply scripture, and somebody's got a wound of the past because maybe their dad abandoned them, or maybe their mother told them they're worthless. And so they've got this wound in their heart and in their brain that just gets more burdened by this spiritual ineptness that they feel, and it hurts them more. But when you go in with science and you do therapy and you add scripture and you just embrace that God made us body, soul, mind, and spirit, and you work on healing the whole person, people get free. They don't have to walk around with shame and guilt because they just can't get that verse to go down. Right? Sometimes when I do eye movement desensitization reprocessing, it's a word that when I do trauma work with people and I am trying to get them into new cognitions, new truth, and we go in a kind of a different way and they get the truth, I can't take it away from them. Mm-hmm. That scripture now becomes real. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we need to get into pain different ways. So
I think the Bible itself actually...
One of the things I fear then... To me, probably, my daughter's already left the church. Probably the solution is to not try to engage and defend why I think this isn't wrong, or this isn't right, but to leave. And I hate, this is a church we've been involved in a very long time. My wife still works there. My daughter has gone through a long cancer struggle, of which this church has been involved. So I'm fearful that the answer is to leave, and I don't know that I can do that.
I think God does have us at churches sometimes for a season, and at times He does ask us to move to another church, perhaps to meet the needs of our family. And back to your initial question, Gordon, I think the Bible itself tells us we have to put the Bible down at times to do what it's telling us to do. So it tells us in James 5:16 that we have to confess to one another, pray for one another to be healed. Jesus himself even gave the example of small group. He had his best guys with him, and when his soul was sorrowing to the point of death, he went to his guys and he said, pray for me, stay with me, stay awake with me. So the Bible gives us the example of relationship for God's healing to work.
And I'm going to share one more thing, Gordon. I'm going to be really vulnerable with you. So guess what? I had the same thing happen. And it was a church I loved. Mm-hmm. And when I went to talk to the pastor... Because he knew I was a therapist, so it really, I was really trying to appeal for, there is a place for all of this, but, and I was bold like you. I went to the pastor, and I had a conversation, and you know what I got? An eye roll, and no. I mean, and so that moment told me what I needed to know. I didn't walk away offended. I just went... He's changing the way he's going to shepherd this body. And so I found another place that is more inclusive. And you're going to probably have to walk into that same thing too. Because you're the kind of guy, I can tell right now, if you don't have a conversation, you're going to always look back and go, gosh, I really should have had that conversation.
Well, actually, I don't know how much time we need. My daughter, my wife and I went in with my daughter to the pastor, the head elder, and the pastor's wife, who had been involved in the counseling of my daughter and her husband, now ex-husband. And so we actually had a discussion about these things. They apologized, and yet, when they apologized how things were handled, they still were not, in my opinion, ready to admit that they don't have all the answers. So, you know, I mean, kind of been down there.
Okay, then guess what? You're going to have to walk.
You know, one of the things that Henry Cloud said one time that has really stuck with me is too often Christians don't know how to end things well. And I think you have that opportunity to end things well. You don't have to leave in anger. You don't have to leave in haste. You had your words with them and explained your thoughts. Now you can just move on. I mean, it sounds simple, and I know it's hard. I left the church after a long time as well. But there's life after church.
There's a new body.
Yeah, there is.
And it's okay to agree to disagree, mm-hmm. to see the good you had in the church and to grieve what you lose as you move on.
The other thing I would ask you to do, just kind of for my sake, go to newlife.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage and where it says About Us, click that, and read our statement of faith. It's a very thorough statement of faith, and it kind of addresses what you're talking about. And I would just encourage you to do that. And it might make you feel better about us, if nothing else.
But the thing I love about us is we have a very integrated view. We are not therapy only.
Right.
We are biblicists that believe that God wants to heal body, soul, mind, and spirit.
And the bottom line is you filter everything against God's word.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. And I love that about what we do here at New Life. And I just thank you for your call. I thought that was a great refreshing call, Gordon. Yeah, and I think there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are listening, and somebody they know, if not themselves, struggle with that same question all the time. I know of great pastors that are on radio that tell their people, all you have to do is pray more. You don't need that counseling stuff.
Or if you have anxiety, you have sin in your life, instead of being a brain issue.
We'll be back after this.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th. And we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things to be aware of. The first is Covenant Eyes, our partner in an internet filter for your computer. It's a great accountability tool that sends reports of your online activity to individuals that you choose. You can use it with your spouse, a friend, or accountability partner, and it provides reports of online activity on tablets, smartphones, and computers. You'll get your first 30 days free when you use the code NLM. Look for the Covenant Eyes link on the newlife.com website to get started. And if you want the most up-to-date information on New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You'll get special offers, connection, and encouragement. Larry, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Terry. A couple things. We're going to the phones. I want to just remind guys, in just a couple of weeks, we are going to be at in San Jose to do Every Man's Battle Workshop. And so there's such a need for that workshop. And guys are often hesitant, and we get all these last-minute sign-ups. It's helpful to us in planning this if you can sign up now. And also, we need your financial support. Look, call and ask about joining Club New Life. Call and make a gift. You make a gift, we'll send you the book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. by Dr. Dave Stoop. Now let's go talk to RJ. RJ listens on Sirius XM, lives in Columbus, Ohio area. Hello, RJ. How can we help you?
How are you today?
Doing good, thanks.
Well, I've got a question. It's kind of a long question, I guess, so I'll try to make it easy here. I guess my biggest thing first is I want to know if I'm doing the right thing in the eyes of God, since He holds marriage to such a high standard. And some of the things that are going through my head here recently, I'm wondering if it's, you know, Satan filling my mind with negative thoughts and making me focus on, instead of positive things, focus on little tiny things that I turn into giant negative things.
Okay, tell us your situation.
Focusing on positive. Well, I'll try to make this quick, too. Right now, I'm at home. My wife is home and our four young children. But back in August, she had started an affair with another man and then moved halfway across the world, left us to go halfway across the country with him, and then came back home and then left again and came back home, each time telling me and the boys that it's, you know, it's just for work and mom will be back and that kind of stuff. And before she left, she tried to convince me and the boys to move as well, and I was buying in on it. And then I found out about the affair, and she that's when she told me that, you know, she was trying to deceive me, and that if I found out about this other guy ahead of time, she, you know, I wouldn't want to move. And her plan was to get us all down there, get comfortable and settled in, and kids in school, and then she was going to go move in with this other guy. And but now, here recently, since I got back home after my vacation for the holidays, she's been kind of a different person. We're communicating well. There's no tension. There's a lot of we talk and us talk. And
RJ, I'm going to step in with a question. Yeah. Has she openly ended the affair where she has communicated to that man that it's over in front of you?
No.
Okay.
No, she hasn't. And I thought maybe she, you know, since I got home, things were really good. Things were, to be honest with you, a few nights ago, we were actually intimate. I wasn't looking for it. It just, she kind of invited it. And there was another situation that happened a few days before that where she went out with a couple of her friends from work, and they were just supposed to go out for dinner for the evening and stuff and kind of catch up on old times and have some, you know, just be together, enjoy their time together. She didn't show up till back home until the next morning at like 8:15. So I'm freaking out, you know. And she came in apologizing up and down, and, you know,
RJ, has she admitted that the affair is wrong, it's over, and she's going to get help for it?
She has told me that she knows it's wrong and that it doesn't feel right. She is getting help for herself because on one of her trips, she did end up trying to take her life and ended up in a mental facility for a while.
So she might be getting help for her depression, but she's not getting help to get out of
Correct.
Sex addiction.
You know, I don't know if it's a sex addiction.
Okay.
As much as she, because she told me that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect and everything, because I'm not. And for a while I was a bear and hard to get along with, but never physically abusive or mentally abusive or anything like that.
RJ, I think you're painting a good picture, and I think we're coming to a good understanding of what's going on. What's your question for us?
Okay. Well, my question, like I started with, I'm wondering now, since, you know, when I got back home after the new year and we were all in the same house again, it felt good and it felt right. It felt like we were going the right way. I saw some little things that made me have positive feelings that we may be moving in the right direction and we can get to a marriage counselor and do these kinds of things. And then after we had our intimate moment, all of a sudden, I feel like, man, am I doing the right things here? Like I asked in the beginning, am I doing the right thing in the eyes of God? I don't want to make our marriage work. I don't want it to end. I've tried hard
so
to make it work.
RJ,
I finally got to a point.
We're coming to the break. Give us your question real clearly here.
Well, I want to know, maybe I'm not asking it right, but in trying to make this work and trying to be open to everything that's happening now, Number one, am I doing the right thing in the eyes of God? But if so, why do I feel so nervous, worried, can't breathe, scared to move?
When you say doing the right thing, you mean taking her back and trying to make the marriage work?
Yes, trying to make the marriage work.
Okay, we've got some good help for you right after the break, so we'll come back and we'll give you an answer.
Yeah, hold on. We'll be back right after this message.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 15th to the 17th.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself in our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are talking to RJ, and he's struggling with whether to try to make his marriage work and bring his wife back into the family. And Shira, you have some thoughts.
Well, hey, RJ. Gotta be honest, I've been where you are. Okay. So infidelity is so painful. And I don't think that it's Satan that you're feeling. I think you're feeling some symptoms of betrayal trauma. That's why you're so anxious.
Okay.
And it's really normal, right? Because she betrayed you. And she's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And this is what I can appreciate about what you know. Is she disclosed her plan to you, which was to get you near the fair partner so she could leave you. That way she could have her boys near and be with this other lover. I don't think she's anywhere near turning around. And that might be the hardest thing that you're going to hear in this call. Mm. She's not repentant. What she's doing is, I bet you something didn't go really well with this relationship. And so she's coming back to you with we and us, kind of like your home base. Right?
Right.
And you are worth more than that. Your boys are worth more than that. You don't want to be home base.
I'm worried about them a lot too.
I know. Mm. So she is caught up in cheating. And she had a plan which was really deceptive. And you've been impacted by betrayal trauma. And one of the things about men, I wrote a book. It's called Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. And it's interesting how many men have read it. And I've had many of them contact me. And I've had some conversations with them offline about how they're dealing with this. And one of the things that they've told me that's different than women is that they they kind of want to repair quickly. They just want everything to go away. And they might
feel that way.
Yeah. You got four boys. And so you're looking to have her back at home just to normalize life. But what they haven't really considered is there is a process that is involved with somebody getting into treatment and turning what they did around. Because she's harmed you severely. In my book, there's a chapter called To Tell the Truth, and we're going to be sending you a copy of the book. But there's a process, it's a Hebrew process called the Teshuvah. And there are several steps to it. But when Alice was asking you, has she done this? Has she done that? Has she done this? Right? She was asking great questions, kind of vetting out the teshuva. How repentant is she? Has she done any work? I think she's just wanting to get back under your roof. But it could be until she has another affair, if she doesn't go in and do her healing. So she's got to recognize what... What?
Go ahead. I said, I agree with you. I'd love for that to happen. And I'm trying to, I've been waiting for a window of opportunity to try to make that happen. And I thought I had it before her intimate time there, just a few days ago.
Right.
We may still, but I just feel so, and why am I feeling so different? Why am I, every little thing, her fingers, you know, all of a sudden,
because,
moment, a couple of days ago,
yeah.
Like everything is magnified.
Trust me. You've been impacted by betrayal trauma. And my book goes in and tells you all about that. And so we're going to send it to you. I want you to walk very slowly with her. And I want you to she's got to get into some treatment to talk about her affair. I want you to stay on the line. We can help you get hooked into a therapist in the area. I want it to be a therapist that's not going to minimize what's happened. Because if you just kind of go into denial and just to get your boys, their mom back, this is going to happen again. And so you got to deal with it very directly and firmly. So,
and you get to require access to the therapist. She has to give you that access, but that is a good part of rebuilding trust if she's willing to do that. And whether or not she gives you access to her therapist is a sign of where she is in this process.
And he can even go into a session and tell the story so she doesn't just give it her side. So anyway, hold on and we'll get you hooked into someone in your area. We care about you.
Yeah, thank you, RJ, for your call. Sorry for what you're going through.
Yeah, so painful.
That's painful. We're going to talk to Robert in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is on WBYN out of Boyertown. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a question I wanted to ask you guys. Is it safe for me to start a relationship once again with my brother? I'm trying to decipher between boundaries and biblical relational issues. I don't want to have a hard, stony heart towards him, and I'm afraid I do. But
well, tell us what happened.
I think that's to make a long story short, we had a huge falling out. My brother has cerebral palsy, and I know it affects his mind. But there's a part of him that's very much normal, and he has a manipulative side to him, and we would talk a lot, and he would dump all his stuff on me, and I made the mistake of trying to help him, and too much instead of just listening, and he formed a infatuation with his caretaker, who's a young lady, and she's fairly nice looking, and it was an unhealthy thing, I felt, and she has a family, and she ended up moving him into her household, and I didn't think it was ethical. There was a lot of weird boundaries that were crossed, and he was paying their cable bill and paying their other bills, and it was just wrong, and he told me about it, and he had fears about it, so I called his caseworker, and, it kind of fell apart then, and I was the bad guy, and they all hate me now. And now, that was 2 years ago, now he's trying to get back into my life, and I don't really trust him. and he doesn't... does that make sense?
It does, Robert, and I'm sorry to say you don't trust him for good reason. When you did the right thing as you saw this situation unraveling, hatred was poured out against you for speaking truth. So your brother's reaching out. That may be a good sign. And I would just ask you to take it very slowly so that you can see, is this the same guy that was manipulative and that ended things because I spoke truth before? Or is this a brother that wants to reconcile with me and that's willing to be upfront and honest about what happened before?
And you know what? You may have really saved him, Robert. I think about whoever this caretaker was, she had inappropriate boundaries. Mm-hmm. She may have had her own manipulative thing going on, right? Here's this guy who's infatuated with me because you know your brother is probably not going to ever probably be in a real relationship with his disability. And so he had this fantasy. She might have picked up on that. Come into my house. I'll get your money, right? You're going to pay my phone bill. That could have been such a debacle for him. And you were the guy that stepped in and saved him. Go ahead.
How did that relationship end with his caretaker?
Between the caretaker and he?
Yeah.
As far as I know, I haven't asked him, but as far as I know, I think he's still living there.
Okay.
With her kids and her boyfriend.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. They did cut off what?
They did cut off funding to her. In other words,
perfect.
Okay, that's good.
The money that she would get to take care of him, they cut that off.
Perfect.
So she still allowed him to live there.
Okay, perfect. Well, guess what? You can't stop your brother from having infatuation. What you did was save him from being financially taken advantage of, right? Cases like that, we have to make calls to Adult Protective Services. You did the right thing. But I wouldn't even go back to that conversation. I would let him go. Just let that conversation be. Because what can you really tell him? Stop being infatuated? You know, he's living there. There's no financial benefit. Is he safe? Do you think he's fine to have a roof over his head?
Yeah, I believe he's safe.
Okay. So then if he's coming back to talk to you, I think it's okay to begin conversations again. But what you learned out of this was huge. You did the right thing, but what you learned is I'm trying to rescue him instead of just listening to him. And growing up in a home with a child with a disability like CP, it's often that the family begins to swirl around and become that person's rescuer, right? Becomes that person's caretaker. And you were probably that brother. And you may have just kind of lost your way. But you're learning, right? We all learn. I grew up in a home that was a lot of craziness. And I became a professional rescuer for a while and, you know, I had to get into my own healing. Now I let people make their decisions. I might offer counsel, but...
And it's okay to test the waters, to have a little bit of contact with him, to get together with him
sure.
and see how you're doing with it, but protect your heart at the same time.
Robert, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. How about sending boundaries? That might help you
That'd
with your
be a
brother
great one.
Trying to figure out how to reestablish relationship.
You know, it may be heaven before his brother's going to come back and really thank him for what he
yeah.
did. You know?
Right. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad.
like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to take another call. If life is really good, we get two in, but we're going to go and talk to Gene in Seattle right now. Gene, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. My question is, I guess in my situation currently, my husband and I, we're feeling stuck. We were feeling stuck previous to my son was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and he recently passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
that's a stress.
And so, oh, thank you. And it was about 18 months caretaking, and caring for him. But now we're back to us.
Yeah.
We have the time now to focus again. How do we're just wondering, how do we start again to turn it around? Like, get our marriage back around. And so I was wondering, which program should we start at? Should I go to Restore, or should we go to the Intimacy in Marriage, or should we go to, or maybe I could go to the Get Your Life Back kind of thing. Because after caretaking and...
Yeah, there's not a single one of those that wouldn't help you, but if it's a marital issue and both of you are stuck, I would encourage the Intimacy in Marriage workshop, but you guys might have a different take on this.
No, I would agree, because, Gene, for you to be grieving and then to now have to face your marriage in such a different way with the loss of your son after an extended illness like that, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. What we could do for you in Intimacy in Marriage is we get you into a room with other couples who have all experienced different sorts of problems, and we get everybody talking and talking to their spouse in a different way. So we help you to learn how to comfort one another, how to lead each other into healing, and how to be a conduit of God's grace to your spouse. So I think we could best serve both of you and your family through Intimacy in Marriage.
And I think if you would be willing to hold on, we'll ask the call screener to transfer you to somebody that can talk to you more about that workshop and the details and get you maybe even to think about signing up.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. But we have one other issue where he had come clean prior to my son getting diagnosed, and we were trying to deal with it and work through that, but I was feeling like he kind of stopped trying to
come clean about what?
And I wasn't sure.
Did he have an affair? Was he looking at porn? What was...
Drinking? What was it?
Yeah, sexual integrity.
Okay.
He had come clean. He, sat me down and told me everything and asked for forgiveness and that. And then I didn't know how to set good boundaries with it. I didn't. And then he also was like, he was starting to go to groups, but then, and go to counseling, but then it ended up, he stopped doing that, and he'd say, well, these guys, I'm not the same as these guys, and it's probably not the right group for me, or something.
Oh, boy.
And so he kind of got stopped, and I'm like...
Gene,
I'm not sure.
If you asked him to go to Intimacy in Marriage, do you think he would agree to that?
Yeah, actually, he would. He would totally agree with it, but I'm not sure if that's
It may still be the right answer, because if he's pushing back so much about getting his own help or being in groups with men, if he's willing to come to intimacy in marriage, we can absolutely help with this. And this comes up with couples all the time in that weekend. And so I would go with what you think he's most willing to accept, and then let us there at the conference help lead and guide and intervene and work with him.
It's not unusual for men at that workshop, the marriage workshop, to later go to the Every Man's Battle workshop.
Okay.
And I would love to, because it sounds like you're kind of looking for a bit of a roadmap, I'd love to send you a copy of my book. It's Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, and that will guide and direct you, and actually both of you, as you begin to heal.
Thank you for your call, Jean.
Okay.
Thank you. We are going to do something and try to speed through another call. We're going to talk to Johnny, Blue Ridge, Georgia, Sirius XM. Johnny, we just got a couple minutes, but we want to hear your question. We see it on the board, but I'd like to hear you say it, so we think we know the answer already, but I want to hear your question.
Okay, yeah, I understand. What a great opportunity to speak to some experts here. So I have discovered, as God calls me closer to him, that he's asked me to do something I'm having a hard time doing. It involves my thought life. I'm in a wonderful Christian marriage, but I used to walk on the wild side. I've got most stuff cleaned up, but I've discovered I can't function sexually with my wife without a fantasy in my mind. And the psalm, God kept showing me this psalm, the meditations of your heart, may the meditations of my heart and words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. And even though the fantasy is with my wife, it's usually we're not married, or not married yet in the fantasy. And but yet I'm in a marriage. I've got a function.
Well, Johnny, I'll say one thing quickly, and I'll let Sherry and Alice pipe in. Your thought that you can't do it without fantasy is a fantasy, because you can. You just need to get some help doing it. What would you ladies want to say to encourage him?
Well, I think you're stuck in fantasy.
There you go.
And the illusion is, right, you've got to create a story that isn't true, which probably is like the porn that you looked at. Right, you think about all those images. A lot of folks don't realize, and I know you know this, Johnny, when you spend time on the wild side and you look at porn for a while, those images are still in there. Right? There's still this kind of appetite. The brain changes. But healing for you is being able to be with your real wife where she's at right now, and to be able to get aroused by that. And so I think coming to our Every Man's Battle weekend would be a great opportunity for you to take this further. I love that the Lord's talking to you. I think it's precious, because he's really wanting to invite you in total restoration instead of having to pretend, which is counterfeit. It's not even reality.
And we've got a couple of those workshops coming up. One is out here on the West Coast in San Jose in just a couple of weeks in February. The other one is a little closer to you. It's in Dallas, Texas, and that's going to be in March 8th, 9th, and 10th. But I'm telling you, you come to that workshop, and I guarantee you, you will walk out of there understanding things that you didn't even know you didn't understand. It's a great workshop. You'll understand that fantasy is not a prerequisition for you to engage with your wife intimately. And you're going to understand and learn what true intimacy is. And it's too many men mistake intensity for intimacy. And your intimacy is developing and building a relationship on all levels with your wife, not just physical, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And that's what we can help you with, Johnny.
And in the meantime, find one man to confess to and to be a prayer partner, accountability partner with, and that will help you start to change your thought life.
I wish we had more time, but we don't. Thank you for listening to New Life. If you're able to help us financially, we appreciate your support. If you could join Club New Life, that would be wonderful. We're looking for 6 people a day to sign up for that. The more that sign up, the fewer hours and minutes we'll spend on radio seeking your support. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.